Hey everybody, I'm Anthony and Paul, and I'm so grateful to be clean today. That is the most important thing I have in my life today, is that I'm clean today, and I owe that all to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm a member of the Recovery Alley Home Group, meets at 10 p.m. on Friday nights, 16th Newton Street in D.C. Come on down. It's a closed topic meeting. Throw a topic in the bucket. Whatever comes out becomes a topic tonight. So please show up. Triangle of self-obsession. You know, my wife says that I qualify for speaking on this topic. I get nervous. I've been clean for 29 years. I get nervous. Okay. I've never loved really being in front, you know. I'd much rather be running a subcommittee, serving on a subcommittee, putting out chairs, literature, secondary, any of that stuff. I mean, that's what I would prefer to be doing. Talking to addicts, answering the phone, working with sponsees, those things I love doing. I don't really like getting up here and sharing because I'm always afraid I'm going to be judged, because I judge the shit out of everybody. I do. You know, so it's only natural, you know, that I'm going to think that y'all are going to judge me. The triangle of self-obsession, today's just for today, you know, a new vision. And it really was talking about a new vision, you know, without fear, anger, and resentment running my life. It was about how can we get these other things in our life? How can we get things like faith in our life, love in our life, acceptance in our life? You know, acceptance of others, acceptance of myself, acceptance of life just as it is. You know what I mean? Because you know, sometimes you know. They talk about anger being our reaction to and our denial of our reality, today's reality. And, it's like you hear something and you don't want it to be that way, and you're like, fuck no. I mean, that's just natural. I mean, at least for me it is. You know, it's like this can't be happening kind of thing, and just not want it to be how it is, how life is, you know. For me, I'm pretty grateful. I'm real grateful. I'm grateful. You know, I found Narcotics Anonymous, that I didn't die. I didn't really want it, you know what I mean? I got clean because I got some charges. I was going to prison, you know what I mean? And let me tell you, I got these charges. They locked me up, you know, distribution charges, drug charges. I was selling cocaine, you know what I mean? And they locked me up. And I was down at D.C., Central Cell Block. I had money. I was a successful drug dealer. That means, you know, you still have money left. You know what I mean? And I had money. I mean, I could have thrown my bond. I could have posted my bond. I laid down. I laid down for 5 days. I was just tired. I was tired. And my dad caught wind of it. I hadn't been to work in 5 days, you know, or 4 days at that point, or whatever it was, you know, that I hadn't, you know, been seen by anybody. Maybe somebody told him, I don't know. I really don't know. All I know is he posted my bond and came and put his house up, you know. It was like a $20,000 bond or something like that. And, I was not going to do anything about it. I mean, I don't know how long I would have laid there before I got off my ass and did something, but I mean, I'm telling you, I was just tired, you know what I mean? And I got out, and it was like mid-December, you know what I mean? It was like December 18th. My brother had a year clean in another fellowship. I went with him to a meeting that night, and I'm looking around like, what the fuck is this? I had no idea, never been to a meeting. You know what I mean? And I didn't use. I worked at a liquor store. I didn't use. And then New Year's came. So I wasn't trying not to use. I mean, I got, look, you know, what does this have to do with me and my recovery? It has to do with, I really didn't want this thing. I didn't want to change. I didn't want, you know, I thought my life was going to be over and all this stuff, you know, not just getting busted and I'm going to prison and all this kind of stuff. But life without these drugs was not something I envisioned. I thought, you know, I'm never going to have fun again and all this other kind of stuff. Now, I got to tell you, if you look at my life then, if you'd seen my life then, you probably wouldn't think, gee, that looks like a whole lot of fun. By the end, you know, I'm in my house, you know, which was two blocks from the liquor store. I'm in the liquor store and I'm selling drugs over the counter. I'm sending other folks down to cop for me because I didn't get off work till 9 o'clock, and the shit I liked was gone by 8:30, you know. And that's just the way it was. But, and I went on this way for a couple more months, and I managed to get fearful enough, you know, that I was going to go to prison, and I'm going to go to prison, you know, using and not knowing what the hell is up, and hoping that I could, like, convince whomever, you know, that it's all a big mistake. And I went to an outpatient treatment place, you know. And I still didn't get clean or anything like that. I mean, I really wasn't all that willing, like I said, but because I'm working at this liquor store and I couldn't make it out the front door. You know, I could stay clean all day and I couldn't make it past this one little cart by the front door, you know, the discount cart for $2 to get a fifth of vodka or something. You know, I couldn't make it past this little cart. And anyway, I finally asked this outpatient place to put me on antabuse because I couldn't make it out the fucking door. So I did. So I went to my first meeting, Narcotics Anonymous, my first day clean, and I still go to that meeting today, every Wednesday night, because that's home, and that's where I found recovery. I walked in there, you know, I came in late, I left early, they tried to hug up and do that prayer thing, and I bolted out of there, you know what I'm saying? But I came back, I didn't go to another meeting until the next week. I came back the next week, and I managed to get to a few other meetings starting after that first week, you know what I mean? After a couple weeks, I asked somebody to be a sponsor for me, you know, not because of anything I wanted about recovery, because I thought that would sound good when I go to court, you know, go to my PO and say, I got a sponsor, you know. I mean, that's reality, right? And that's okay, right? I mean, I would encourage people to do the same thing. My sponsor's wife signed a slip for me, signed this long, nice-ass letter, you know, for me when I'm going to court, you know, and she didn't know me. I mean, really nice letter. Anyway, name is Fawn. You'll see her if you go to the old-timers meeting in the intro. She wrote that thing, and all I know is, you know, 44 days clean, I went to prison, and I copped to two of these felonies, you know, they dropped all the seven other charges that weren't felonies, and two of the felonies, and, you know, I'm a smart guy, right, so I figured, you know, they're going to give me 20 months, 5 years, because that's what these charges held, you know. Well, smart-ass Paul, you know, they ran it consecutive, so they gave me 40 months, 10 years, and I think about myself a lot, you know, I'm fearful. The reason I did the drugs that I did was because I always felt like I'm getting pushed around, you know, that I don't know how to stand up for myself, I don't know how to be assertive, I learned how to be aggressive, and I learned how to, you know, like, make people believe through my actions that, you know, you don't want to fuck with me because I'm crazy, right, you know, that I'm just not the kind of guy you want to get up in his face and all like that. I learned how to do those things to defend myself, you know what I mean? So I was a very fearful guy. I had plenty of resentments. I mean, growing up, you know, the guy I resented the most, I heard the guy talking this morning in the fact center, you know, talking about his dad and the things that he learned from his dad and the things that he didn't necessarily appreciate about his dad and his dad's behavior and all like that. And that's what I got going on. You know, the guy that I resented most and who I blamed all my problems on was my father, you know, because we had a rough childhood. You know, we had a rough way to go growing up. You know, it's pretty abusive household. You know, he ran the house with an iron fist, and, you know, we got beatings and belt weapons, and, you know, one time I guess he lined us all up with a gun, and, you know, I don't know what the hell was going on, who knows, you know, it didn't really matter, doesn't really matter at this point. But I just learned about resentments. I learned about fear, learned about anger. I learned about these things, and I'm not blaming him for these things. These are just the things that I took on, and here I was when I go out on my own. Here I am 30 years old when I got clean. I blamed him for everything wrong in my life. Now, that somehow that's wrong. I'm a grown man, right? But I just didn't know how to live. That's what it was. I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to not live in fear and be worried all the time. I'm a big worrier, got plenty of resentments. I've worked on most of them. Some of them crop back up, and I'll be driving down the road and I'll be serene. Yes, I'm going to let everybody in. Yeah, and then they speed past me and stomp on the accelerator, right? It's like it's instantaneous, it's like built in. You know what I'm saying? I mention these things just because they're natural like things for me, for whatever reason. I don't want to be chumped. I don't want to be the loser. You know what I mean? And so my reaction when people don't do things the way that I do things is that I'm angry, and then I get resentment about it. And if I have to talk to them all the time and I have to be nice to them, then I'm really resentful, right? But I didn't know how to work through resentments, I learned in the steps. I learned in our Narcotics Anonymous. 10 days into my little thing, in prison, they called for the NA meeting because they shuffled around. I was in my third place, and they called for an NA meeting. I had no idea. I didn't even think about it. I had no idea what I was getting into. Called for an NA meeting. I was so damn happy, man. And run up in there, and DCH and I. Thank you, DCH and I. DCH and I was bringing a meeting down there, Lord. And there was one guy in there, and I knew him, Mike T. The guys in my dorm, where we're having this meeting, they see me talking to this guy, Mike T, and hugging him, and like, Paul's got recovery. Paul, what the hell? I didn't know shit. I had 44 days clean. I hadn't worked a step. I hadn't used. I barely learned how to like pray. Pray in the meeting. I don't know how much praying I was doing outside. I'd done a little bit only because, an experience I had where I got in the car with a bunch of using addicts, and I knew damn well I didn't keep myself clean. When I got home that night, I prayed, thank God for keeping me clean, because I knew it wasn't me. I barely learned about prayer. And these guys decided to put me up front. I'm the one white guy in my dorm of 100, and they decided to put me up front because they wanted to show that addiction is not discriminating. They saved me. They made me a part of. They made me so people were coming up to me thinking I got something. They got me through my time there, because they were asking me for help. So they're talking to me about recovery, when I got to that, and then they shipped me off. They shipped me off Missouri. But when I got to my third step, I've been working my third step, and I had another experience. These are like experiences I have. That's how my recovery seems to work, is that I experienced where I got off the phone with somebody from home, with my ex-girlfriend, but I was thinking of her and my girlfriend, of course I'm crying because I'm like, why the fuck am I deluding myself? The day before I went in, with 43 days clean, she came to my house, and I thought, this is good, right? You're gonna get what you need because it will send off. I start getting a little Dear John speech, like goodbye, see you later kind of thing. All I know is her feet were off the ground, my hands were around her neck, and somehow she got away. I just blacked out, And so I didn't have like a good handle on how to deal with feelings, So, I went to my sponsor after this thing, after this call home, and he told me, I wanted to work the fourth step, and I was like, I don't want to be lying to myself, and I bring this up because this is really where I learned how to deal with fear, where I learned to deal with resentments. It was a long process dealing with anger, but I had a lot of practice not practicing anger, being locked up with a whole lot of guys who are a whole lot better at it than me. And I couldn't afford to practice that shit that I used to practice, you know, try to get up in everybody's face. I mean, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. I had to be taught how to live clean. But with resentments, I was taught the resentment prayer. When I'm right in my fourth step and you get all these resentments and I can't get through this shit, I especially can't get through this shit about my father, you know, because it's not like I was a kid, man. You know what I mean? I mean, what did I do to deserve all this shit? You know? Well, it wasn't about what I did to deserve it in the beginning. I was still practicing that shit, putting myself last, like I'm worthless at 30 years old. You know? And I'm not even telling you to stop there, you know, even clean, I could put myself last, you know what I mean? But that was my part, man. And I also was able to get to this place through prayer, through this resentment prayer, where you pray for other people to have what you want for yourself, because you have to do that because you have to be able to get through these steps in order to get to a better place, and you have to be able to see your part. I had to be able to see my part. You know, I couldn't get there when I got this stuff in the way, you know? This big-ass resentment I can't see past. You know, I had to get past that. So I learned the resentment prayer, and I practice that thing. It's not like it makes it all better. It makes you it allows you to get through it. It allows you to see things a little differently, maybe open my mind just enough, just a little bit, just enough, where I can have some compassion. And what I knew then, after practicing that for a while, and writing, is that he did the best he could. You know, he was probably brought up just how I was brought up, and was probably worse. You know what I'm saying? That's how we learn, right? That's we're taught, right? You know, and I had to get to that place, and thank God that I learned that lesson. You know, and it allows me to treat others a little differently, and it also allows me to have a little compassion for others. When I start judging them, and I can look at them and think, you know what? You need to have a little compassion. You need to recognize that it's not all about you and how you feel. And 99% of the time, what goes on in life is just life. I can't take life personal. I have to take my recovery personal, but I don't have to take life personal. Most of the time, life is just life. That's all it is. Things go on. It has nothing to do with me. Most things, and I heard Jeff say this morning, most times, if I just keep my mouth shut, things will be better. I will be happier. And that's true. I don't have to respond to every little thing that, you know, I think, oh, that's the wrong way to do it, or I don't like that, or it's none of my damn business. It's really not, you know. And early on, these were good lessons for me, really good lessons for me. Minding my own business is a really good lesson for me, you know. I could be all up in everybody's, you know, faces about how they do their service commitments, about all this stuff. But that's not going to help me. And all I'll do is get wrapped up in me, which I already started there. So, you know, I think about me a lot. I'm thinking about this for 2 days, you know, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. Not like, you know, I haven't been, you know, clean for a while and working some steps and prayed and prayed and prayed, you know, but still I think about me. Well, that's the nature of the addict, the total self-centeredness of the addict, you know, and for me, you know what I mean? The anger thing was a lot more difficult for me. Not that I'm done with resentments or all like that. I mean, they'll still come back. I'll still cop resentments and all like that. But that instinctive stuff where, you know, I know that proactive prayer is one of the most important things that I can do on a daily basis, proactive prayer. Before I get in my truck and drive up the alley, I start praying because I'm not good behind the wheel, you know. People want me to work far away, an hour away, and I'm like, you don't want me on the road that long. It's the truth, man. I mean, you don't. You know, I can deal. And just like I could make it to 9 o'clock when the liquor store closes, as long as I knew that 9 o'clock was coming, I was going to be okay because I could get right. You know what I mean? It's the same way. I just got to have something that's going to get me through until the feeling passes, I act a little better, and I begin to feel a little bit of compassion for somebody else and a little bit of you know what, I don't want to be that person. Because I don't. I don't want to be that person. You know, I don't want to be that angry person. I don't want to be that resentful person. I don't want to be the person that's, you know, chastising somebody for the way they do their service or loads the dishwasher. Jeff talked about that too. I liked everything he had to share, to be honest. I really did. I'm crazy on the dishwasher. My wife will teach everybody, just leave it on the counter. Just leave it on the counter. You know. It's okay. You know. It's just a dishwasher, right? It's just dishes. If I really want to do all the dishes myself, then I can be the same stupid, you know. I mean, that's the way it comes down to. If I want to be angry and alone, my first sponsor would talk about being right. You know, you want to be right, go ahead and be right. You can be the rightest, alonest person in the world. And look, you know, I didn't come up with this stuff. These are things that are passed on to me, you know. And I don't want to be that alone person. I don't want to be the rightest person. I want to be a happy person, you know. I want to be a loving person, compassionate person. I want to be the guy that answers the phone and listens and, you know, and doesn't, like, jump down somebody's throat. You know what I mean? I just don't want to be there, you know, and the steps helped me with that. I mean, the fourth step helped me identify some stuff that didn't show me all the solutions. It showed me a path. You know, the sixth step is really what it was talking about today. When it was talking about the yesterday, it was, you know, about the six and seven. It was talking about how do we not be that person, the person that lives without fear, anger, and resentment, the person that learns to incorporate faith in his life, the person that learn to incorporate love in his life, you know, and this convention shows me I have that. I have that capacity, and I know this, and the reason why I say that, I see people, I'm happy to see them, they're happy to see me, they want to give me a hug, you know, I see people here that I haven't seen all year, sometimes I see people I haven't seen in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, you know what I mean, that's just the way it works, and I need that. I need that in my life, you know. I need to be able to see people and be happy to see them and people be happy to see me. I want to be loved. Look, all I wanted from my dad was his approval, right? And, you know, and I just didn't feel like I could give that to him, like I could give him what he wanted, meaning I'll be this upstanding kind of guy and do everything right. And he was proud of me, and he told me that later, you know, later on, after many years clean, and he tried to make amends to me, and, you know, I just brushed it off, you know, because I don't like those feelings, you know, I brushed it off, you know, he started trying to do a nine-step thing, and it's okay, Dad, and, you know, and I didn't allow him to do that, and I feel bad about that, I do, I think about that a lot, you know, that I didn't allow him to make his amends, because I know that that's an important part of, you know, people being able to live with themselves, you know what I mean? And kind of lost my train of thought for a second there. Anyway, you know, I still have a lot of shortcomings. Okay. I'm never going to be a perfect person. That's not being human. We're addicts just trying to get through the day, a day at a time, doing the best we can, sharing the best we can about our experiences and what's helped us. You know, it can be little things like, you know, getting involved. I mean, people told me to get involved. The best thing anybody ever told me to do, you know, when I opened my mouth and said, what can I do? They had me picking up ashtrays and shit like that. Look, I felt a part of those guys in Lorton saved my life, you know, and they got me involved, made me a part of, and people reacted. You know, when you're a part of, people react. They talk to you, they believe that you have something. They say, what can I do? What meeting should I go to? What's a good meeting? You know, I mean, these are great things, you know. I mean, they're just simple things, you know. But working the sixth step was a long, long process. And it doesn't end. I did get to the point where I heard those happy, happy words, maybe you're a seven-step kind of guy. And I was real happy to hear that. You know, I didn't know how to be humble. I have a tough time with it now. You know, that's life. That's okay. It's about practicing it. You know, about practicing humility and recognizing I'm not the guy that's going to take care of this stuff, take care of these shortcomings. I can work on better behaviors, but I'm not the one that's going to remove these shortcomings from me. You know, and the shortcomings are just a manifestation of these defects of character. The defects are still there. You know, I'm still a fearful guy. I'm still, you know, all these other sorts of things that come up. But I don't have to act on them. I can walk through fear. You know, I can practice stuff that is good for me today, whether or not I'm fearful. You know, I got a new career. I'm very fearful. I'm never going to make a go of this and be able to not be a loser. You know what I mean? Be able to support myself and contribute to the family household, you know. But, you know, I'm aging. I got to do something. You know, I got to learn to work with a computer doing the computer thing on home inspection program. You know, I'm not very good at this stuff, putting in pictures and all like this. But you know what? I can't be a hammer guy anymore because, you know, my body is not working for me. You know what I mean? My knees are shot. You know, all my joints are, you know, getting a little iffy. And God knows that, you know, I ain't got the energy that I have. I still have a belief in Narcotics Anonymous that it can work for anybody. I know it works for this addict. I know that it changed me into a person, a different person. You know, I think I've had a personality change. I believe that I'm a caring person, you know, now in my core. Doesn't mean that there's not something else underneath there and I can't, like, judge you. Like I said, my first reaction can still be that. I had this one guy in my life that all these lessons, you know, this sponsor of mine said, you know, wouldn't it be really difficult to be Hal? I don't want somebody to be looking at me and say, wouldn't it be difficult to be Paul? You know, I want them to believe that Narcotics Anonymous works and that the steps work, the program works. You know, we can change. We can be these happy, joyous, and free people. You know, and I'm not real happy recently, you know, with, you know, my lack of energy and, you know, with worrying about, you know, work and not being a loser, you know, but that's just reality. It's just about learning stuff, learning new stuff. I'm not that old to be learning new tricks. I mean, I'm learning it. I mean, I already have it. I mean, they love me. These guys that I'm working for, they love me. I just don't know if I can make enough money to feel like I'm comfortable, you know what I mean? And that's okay, because I tried it. I reached out and tried it. I took coursework. I did the steps if necessary, you know what I'm saying? You know, we can't be afraid to do that. If I've been afraid to open my mouth in a meeting and say that I'm an addict and ask somebody to sponsor me or any of these other sorts of things, I wouldn't have gotten what I got now. Or even to be vulnerable enough to just say, I can't do this and pray. You know what I mean? I mean, that's hard. That's hard. You know, it can be hard. Some days it's really hard. I want to hold on to resentments. I see some folks out here today, not in the room, you know, that I have some resentments that I haven't been able to let go of. And that's a process, man. And I really, you know, I saw these people, and, you know, there's a couple of people, and I know that they stole from Narcotics Anonymous, and I have a real fucking problem with that, you know. And I see these people, and I get mad, you know. But I haven't practiced that resentment prayer. I haven't practiced that resentment prayer on these people. I don't want to hold this shit. It's not what I want. I don't want to feel resentful when I see people. I don't want to feel that. You know? Am I being resentful? What do they say? Like pissing on yourself? Right? They're not feeling it. They're perfectly happy going about their day. And I don't know their program. I don't know what they're doing about it. I don't know if they're sharing with their sponsor and asking their higher power for forgiveness for their actions. I don't know none of that shit. I'm just judging the shit out of them. So what am I doing? I need to work on me, because that's the only thing I have power on, is working on me. Will I work on me today? Will I work that resentment prayer and try to be a better person and not be sitting in my own this? Because that's all it is. That's all it is, you know. Anyway, I'm not sure that I have much more. How much more time do I have? I think I'm feeling.
I resent that.
I want to thank the committee, you know, the DCRA host committee. I want to thank the program committee. want to thank my wife. She puts me up there. She's the vice chair of program. You know, because I rarely will open my mouth in a meeting at home, and I know it's not what we're supposed to do, because my gratitude speaks, right? When I care and when I share with others, anyway. And I need to do that more, not just in person, but, you know, at the meetings and share my experience. Guys have come up to me when I share about my abusive household and all like that. And say, man, you gotta share that stuff more. You helped me so much, you know? And then I feel, you know, bad. But what I don't want to do, and I hate to do, is I was crying at the meeting when Jeff was sharing this morning when we talked about the dad. You know, and I don't want to be the guy to get up here and fucking cry just because I just wanted love my dad, just wanted his love, you know. And I couldn't know how to feel that, so I don't know how to live a life, you know. When my sponsor was sick, I went to my mother and I start crying, and then I'm stuffing it, right? I want to be that guy. Feel feelings. It's okay. I know I'm loved here. I'm safe here. This is family here. You know, I just don't want to be that guy, but somehow it's instinctive to me. You know, you got to push that shit down. Because that's what I was taught early on, and I managed to do that for a really long time. And I remember when it started, when I just started, the tears started welling up. I thought, don't do that shit. Don't open your mouth about that shit. But that's where we get freedom, right? Where other people get help. That's what I'm supposed to be doing here. You know, it's just something I got to work on, I got to pray on, you know? And so I'm really, really grateful that I was asked to speak. Thanks.